You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. In 2013, the state implemented the local control funding formula, a new method of funding K through 12 schools. The goals were to give districts more flexibility in how they spend funds and to provide more resources for high-need students. However, a recent state audit, which included Clovis Unified, found that billions of dollars earmarked for high-need students are instead being used to support the general student population. FM 89's Kathleen Schock breaks down the audit with Clovis Unified legislative analyst Steve Ward and Fresno County Deputy Superintendent Dr. Catherine Catania. We also hear from EdSource Editor-at-Large John Fensterwald and Public Policy Institute of California Research Fellow Dr. Julian LaFortune.
All right, so before we talk about the findings of the state audit, I want to start by talking briefly about how local control funding formula works. So John, if you could start us out, that would be great. You know, my understanding is that within this funding formula, school districts and charter schools receive what's called supplemental and concentration funds based on the number of high-need students served. And that funding source comes on top of the base funding allocated to run the school. Now, this is a complicated formula, but it was designed to create a more equitable distribution of funding based upon the actual needs of students. Can you just briefly explain how all of this works? Because I think it's central to this conversation.
Well, what you said is exactly right. There is a base funding that all charter school, all districts and charter schools receive. And on top of that, there's a supplemental and concentration, I'll explain the difference, that recognizes that some students need extra funding. And these are, in particular, low-income students, English learners, foster youth, and homeless youth. And for each student that you have in a district, you get additional money. It can be arranged 20% for every student. And then if you have lots of students, that's a concentration portion of it, your district gets even more. So, for example, Clovis, which has about, you know, a little bit more than 40% of these students, it gets around 8.5% additional money. But Fresno, next door, where it's close to 90% of students are low income and English learners, and they get a little bit more than a third. So it does escalate as you get towards higher populations of these needy students.
Great. So, Steve, you're with us here in studio from Clovis Unified. Your district, along with Oakland and San Diego, were included in an audit that the state conducted looking at how these monies were being used. And what the audit found is that really across the board, base funding was not enough to cover the basic needs of the district. And as a result, districts were using supplemental and concentration funds to cover those basic needs. Is that indeed what you have been experiencing at Clovis Unified? We'll start with that.
Okay. We primarily kept our supplemental concentration dollars within that allocation and did not move too much or very little over to the base. But the challenge is ongoing that the base dollars are not enough to cover the increasing cost of educating children in California. And there's been a lot of initiatives that have come along since the LCFF was implemented that is stressing school districts in how to cover those costs. So the supplemental concentration is a great concept, and we've really used it to enhance the kids that need that extra help, especially at the social and emotional area, and we've used a lot of those dollars towards that end and seen great results from that. And the fact that we have the ability to work with our parents in a different manner than we ever did before and get their input from that perspective.
Dr. Catania, from your perspective as a Fresno County superintendent, can you tell us, is this an issue across the board? How have districts throughout Fresno County adopted to this new funding formula?
Well, it's been a beneficial formula across the county because it enables their local school board, along with the parents and their other stakeholders, to really determine what the most effective use of the dollars are and how to allocate those resources. But as Steve said, we know that across California, the base funding is really falling short of the basic needs of all students. And then also in the cases of districts that don't receive the concentration money, it limits their ability to do some additional services. If you look at the difference between Clovis and Oakland, for instance, they have about the same attendance, average daily attendance, Clovis 41,000 roughly, Oakland 34. But because 77% of the kids in Oakland are either English learners, foster youth, or socially economically disadvantaged students, Oakland gets another $31 million above what Fresno Clovis does. So the formula needs to be looked at to really provide fair funding for all students across California.
Julianne LaFortune, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. You've done a great deal of research with the Public Policy Institute of California looking at this funding formula. I'm curious, are you hearing similar things from other school districts? I guess that's the first part of my question. And then the second part of my question has more to do with another bit of criticism that came out in the report, which is that there is a lack of transparency about how these categorical and supplemental funds are being spent. In your research, was it difficult for you to find the data you needed?
Yeah, thank you. I guess just to the first point, that is something that I've been hearing, but it's difficult to tell exactly how, you know, money's being spent and whether it's going exactly where it needs to go. And that's in part a reflection of what, you know, and onto your second point of what we found and what I've found in research, what the state auditor has found, and that it's difficult, at least comprehensively from a statewide perspective, to get a sense of how the money that we target under the local control funding formula, these supplemental and concentration dollars, are really reaching students. And that's because we target money based on districts. So we target money to the districts, and then we allow them, and we actually give them more freedom to determine how to best use this funding. And I think a lot of districts are, you know, are trying, and they're facing very real cost pressures. But given that we've seen, you know, a lack of movement on achievement gaps over long term and this kind of sustained investment recently, I think this has led to a lot of questions over, well, you know, what is the money being spent on, and is it being spent in the way that benefits these students for whom it was intended the most?
And just as a point of clarity, what are the exact populations of students that this money was designated to support?
Yeah, so under the formula, the high need students are designated as those that are low income, foster youth, homeless, or English language learners. And so those are the students, and the form part of the formula is an acknowledgement that these populations may require additional resources to educate. And so we give additional funding to those districts that have higher shares of these students.
So, John, what are some of the potential impacts of this audit? How much change can we potentially see in the future as a result of the findings?
Well, you mentioned at first that about the difficulties districts have with base funding, that it's not sufficient enough. And the auditor recognizes that, but it's a very small portion of her audit. The point of the audit was to find out how districts were spending their supplemental and concentration money. And as Julian said, it was really difficult to do. And what the auditor said was, in general, we determine the state's approach has not ensured that funding is benefiting students as intended. And the focus here is not ensured. They just don't know. And so one of the reasons is that districts are not required to, for example, they're not required to list how they spend the supplemental and concentration money as an auditor would. They're required to increase or improve services for the students for whom they were intended proportionately to the money. And that sounds wonky, but the difference is it's much harder to see in the document that the districts prepare how they spend the money. And I give Clovis, for example, credit. It's the only district that you could actually track supplemental and concentration internally in its budget process. The other two districts didn't. But at the same time, the auditor said, we can't really tell the way that Clovis does its local control and accountability plan, which is the document that is the public document that's commented upon and built. We can't really tell how you're spending the money because you're kind of vague. You're supposed to say
that this purpose is effective and that it's principally directed to these students, but we can't tell the way that your document is constructed. And it's not Clovis alone, there are others. The other thing that the auditor pointed out was that money for concentration and supplemental that is left over at the end of the year can be used however the district wants. It could go right into the general fund, right into base funding. Now, districts can maybe justify that that's probably a good and maybe even intended to have that flexibility, but I think it's a perverse incentive, and that's one of the things that the auditor recommended that we eliminate, that supplemental and concentration money should be spent on the students, again, for whom it's intended.
So in the event, and I'm going to direct this question to you, Steve, in the event that the audit results in a change in the law that would prohibit districts from rolling over supplemental funds into, you know, into base funding, what kind of impact would that have on Clovis Unified?
Well, I think, let me talk in general for school districts. And I think the challenge is that when the LCFF was implemented, these are some of the things that were discussed and asking for clarity on how those dollars, if they you had dollars left over at the end, there was no clarity in or direction of how school districts could or couldn't use those dollars. So a lot of districts are rolling that back into their base because of the need for the base funding of dollars. They have to cover the costs. They have no option. They're mandated costs, and they have to be covered. So if those dollars for districts that are doing that were siphoned all back into supplemental concentration, which is how what was designed to be done, then the state is going to have to take a real hard look at, all right, now how do we address those needs for base funding dollars, which again, like I said, most of those are new dollars that are mandated that we have absolutely no choice that we have to spend. And like I said, it's increasing the cost of educating children in California, and we have to realize how are we going to pay those costs.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Valley Edition. We're talking about a recent state audit that looked at the local control funding formula, which is how the state allocates money to K-12 education. So, Catherine, I'd like to direct the next question at you, and this is specifically about the audit. One of the things that came forward was what was described as a lack of oversight over spending by county offices of education. Can you explain what is the role of a county office of education in this funding process? And do you think that moving forward, your office may be called upon to be more involved with what districts are doing with their funding?
Well, when the local control accountability plan was set up, it was set up with very specific rules and guidelines that the county offices were to apply when reviewing the LCAPs of our local districts. And just as was stated a minute ago, in the case, and like, you know, we're looking at Clovis's, they absolutely met that requirement where they stated where they're spending the funding. And so our office works with them, and Clovis does a good job of it, and we work with the other districts in Fresno County as well to make sure that they have enough detail in their LCAPs so that if they're using supplemental or concentration money, that they describe how it improves and increases services for those students. So I can't really speak to what else is happening around the state, but as the audit found in Fresno County, we were absolutely meeting the requirements that we were asked to do. Now, in the audit, it talks about wanting to put in more rules and guidelines about what should be in there. And so if that comes about, we will follow those rules and guidelines as they come about.
So I do want to talk more before we finish about what the future holds. But I'd like to, before we go there, just take a look at the current snapshot. Julian, you have been really leading efforts in the state to research how this funding formula is impacting districts. And I would love to have you talk a bit about what data shows about how higher need districts are spending under local control funding formula compared to what's considered a lower need district.
Yeah, so what we've seen, I guess, over the past 5 or 6 years with the improved situation economically in the state and with respect to the state budget, we've seen a lot of spending increases across the board in both higher need and, you know, more well-off districts. But what we see, and this is the direct result of the formula under the local control funding formula, is that we've seen a larger increase in spending in these higher need places and these higher need districts. And a lot of this money, it turns out, is going to student services and support staff, at least a lot of the additional money. And one thing that we don't tend to find, on average at least, is that there are relative increases or there are greater increases in spending on teachers in these higher need districts. And what turns out to be the case is that a lot of these higher need districts that are getting more money under the funding formula in the past few years are spending more to hire novice educators. So they're seeing smaller class sizes, they're seeing improvements in staffing numbers and ratios, so essentially more adults in the classroom, more adults in the school. But it's not translating into necessarily more spending, and that's because they're hiring more novice teachers, more novice educators that tend to be less experienced, and because of existing salary schedules, they're paid less. And when we look actually within districts, this is also the case. The highest need school or the most impoverished school within a district will tend to have smaller class sizes, but they'll also have less experienced teachers who are paid less. And so I think part of the key when we're thinking about, you know, what's the effect of this spending going to be and is it going to close achievement gaps, we have to think very seriously, not just, you know, are the dollars reaching these schools, but what are the dollars going towards? Are we hiring a lot of novice staff that don't necessarily stick around? And I think part of the ultimate efficacy of this reform and you know, improving the achievement gap going forward will be, can we retain and kind of hire these effective teachers in these types of high-need places? And I think it remains to be seen whether we can do that, but the signs aren't necessarily encouraging in that regard.
Catherine, does that connect with what you're experiencing in Fresno County?
Well, as you know, statewide, there's a huge teacher shortage. So in Fresno County, we would love to hire experienced teachers for every classroom. Unfortunately, they're not out there. So part of, and you can see allocating resources is our hirings are the new teachers coming out of the teacher colleges and the different programs, because that's who's out there to hire. So consequently, we have to put amounts of money into professional development, coaching of these teachers, in-classroom coaching of the teachers. We're having the same thing with administrators. We have a lot of administrators retiring, so we have new administrators. These new administrators need coaching and help looking at how to run effective programs, how to collect data. And you look at, you know, in the case of like Clovis, when we were talking before about, you know, what's the effectiveness of the dollars, if you look at the California dashboard for Clovis, all of their math, English language arts, college and career, grad rate are all in the blues and greens. So obviously they're doing a very effective job with the money that they've had, even though they don't get the extra millions of dollars for concentration funds. They have a really good teacher preparation program for new teachers coming in, but all districts are facing that we're having a teacher shortage and we're having to hire a lot of new teachers.
So we have to wrap up in just a couple minutes. John, I want to give you the last word. You are deeply involved in covering education throughout the state, and I'd love to have you weigh in on the politics of this. Local control funding formula was an initiative passed under Governor Jerry Brown. We obviously have a new governor in Sacramento now. I'm curious, what do you anticipate we might see around reform of this funding formula?
Governor Newsom hasn't weighed in yet as to the audit, but there's been a tension from the moment that the law was created between accountability for this extra money that we're giving districts for high-need students and the flexibility and local control that we're also giving them. And I read Julian's report. It was terrific, but he must be a contortionist, because it was very hard for him to reach his conclusions because you can't track the money. So I think the bottom line of this audit is that the legislature is going to say, yeah, we agree with local control, but if we can't tell how this money is being spent for these students across districts because you can't compare them, we've got to come up with some way to do that and try not to reimpose controls that people recognize are not desired, but nonetheless be more transparent and accountable for how the money is spent.
Well, I thank you for being with us today. Thank you to all of our guests for talking about this. There's certainly going to be more discussion to come. So thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.